and amen and amen. And just look right into his word, you'll find him, won't you? Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Good to see some back that's been sick and had to miss and everything. We're glad to have you back with us. Talked to Brother Gary yesterday, I guess it was today morning, and he was a little bit better. His voice is up, and he seems to be doing better on that. So just keep praying for him that the Lord would, you know, would be with him. I know you already have, but Sister Johnny is in the hospital, and she had the flu and things, and just she said she didn't ever pass out, but she fell into the floor, and they had to take her to the hospital and things. But just keep praying for her. The Lord would be with her. Amen. Trying to get the announcements out of the way. Remember, the fellowship meeting will be the third Saturday. If any of you want to go with us, make sure you let us know where we can go. That'll be on, the 20th, I think. It'll be the third Saturday. But remember that. Remember that Wade will be speaking this weekend. I pray that you have done as he asked, that you would listen to the stature or read the stature of a perfect man and you know, have that, and especially that, and blasphemous names, if you would. We listened to both of them already this week, and it's really been a great time sometimes to sit down and just listen, you know, without having to plan for whatever you're doing. I generally have to listen in a rotation, see if something that I'm speaking about. But when you can just sit down and put on tape and listen, it's really a great thing. And if you listen to that, you'll hear Brother Branham explaining over and over and over that you're born again at faith. And then, you know, why all these people get confused about that, I don't understand it, but that's the way it's got to be for everybody. All right? If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn in Revelations 1, and then we'll go to Exodus 33. Revelations 1, Exodus 33. Keep us in your prayers. They finally got our test back from the sleep, ever how you say that word, acne or whoever it is, whatever. And I laughed because they said I stopped breathing 152 times, and I didn't sleep 4 hours. I know, because I was awake most of the night. So I don't know what's keeping me awake and keeping me alive. And they said that my oxygen level had got down as low as 87 during the night, and said, no wonder you wake up a lot. And I said, okay. But they don't know that when I wake up, I pray. So I don't worry about it. I just say, by stripes I'm healed, and I keep right on going. He said, old devil's cutting off, trying to stop my breathing, trying to stop everything, trying to cold and all. He's doing it to all of us, but he can't defeat us. So what are we worried about it for? And if he does, everything's all right anyway. Who's worried? You know, I don't have no concern whatsoever. I have no fear in that line of anything that the devil can do to me, because he can't do it until God gets through with me. Then when he's through with me, that's all right. You know, but just pray for us that the Lord would, you know, take everything and make it work out for his honor and glory. All right, Revelations 1, where we've been reading, and then we'll go to Exodus 33. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and your love and your grace unto us. Thank you for all the things that you've given unto us. We know you give them to us freely. Thank you for taking care of us all of these years of what the doctors have said. We got this, we got that. We don't worry about what they say. It's what you say. You say, by your stripes, we are already healed and we're not concerned. We love you. We thank you. We just ask you to bless each one. Remember the sick ones. Remember Sister Johnny there in the hospital, Brother Gary, Lord, the different ones that are sick among us. You said you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from destruction, so we believe it. And we just depend upon that. Have your way now. As we read your word, you come and speak to our hearts about what to say to your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelations 1, we'll start verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write. Now notice, you know, a voice comes and said, I am Alpha and Omega. All right. Now, he knew, as I've tried to emphasize so much, he knew whose voice that was. He didn't have no problems with that, see. All right. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Maybe an odd scripture to get to when we finally get to the part we want to bring out tonight, but Exodus 33, and we'll begin reading at verse 18. If you remember the background story, Moses says, Lord, I'd like to see you. What about as many times as he'd been in personal contact with him, things that had happened, but he'd never seen him like he wanted to, and he said, Lord, I'd just like to see you. Well, he didn't mean, I'd like to see you in Revelations, I'd like to see you in this and that or the other, because he'd seen that. All right? So what's what he's saying? And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. Thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by. Now watch what he's saying now. And it shall come to pass while my glory. Now we're talking about the sevenfold glory of his person. This is all a background to get to that part. So now watch what he's saying. And it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock. So now his glory is going to pass by, and he's going to be over here taking him, putting him in the rock. Read your Bible. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Look at it. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I want to try to get to a point tonight. I've been trying to for a while to do, but, you know, I was going to go on into the sevenfold glory of his person. But when I got into the part of thinking on it, then it began to develop into other things that I believe we need to understand there, you know, and be able to follow it in a line. But now what have we been doing? We've been using Revelations 1, and we saw in Revelations 1 that Jesus says, now, John, before I show you anything, I want you to know who I am. But he had said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. All right? Now, then he says, now, John, I'm being that Alpha and Omega. Said, now, you just stand and listen to me a while. That was the quotes we gave from the prophets, you know, on the seven church ages and on the Patmos vision. All right? Now, think about what's taking place. He shows John these things, and he says, now, before I show you anything, I want you to know who I am. I'm the Alpha, I'm the Omega, I'm the beginning, I'm the ending, I'm all of it. All right? And said, just stand there now, and just listen. Well, we read there in Revelations that it takes just a minute to read, almost the whole chapter of one, maybe 1-2 minutes. But yet we look at those things as, we just read it. But I don't look at the Bible that way. I look at it in the basis of that maybe this would have been quite a while. What's the need in being in a hurry? The eternal God is going to speak, and he wants to make sure that John understands him. So it's not, a lot of times we just read something and we think, that was just a 2-minute affair, like I said about Nicodemus and Jesus talking. That might have been hours in conversation. See, we narrow those things down and want to make them little bitty short stories instead of thinking. Now he says, John, I'm Alpha and Omega. Now you just stand there and listen. Now you know, John, whose voice this is. Amen. It wasn't a trumpet. It's just stating him that way, right? That it's like a trumpet. It wasn't a to-do. It was a voice. It said something. See, we started off in there in Revelation. He said, now, I'm the Alpha and Omega, a voice speaking. Right. Well, now, there was no problem with John understanding whose voice that was. Because he knew that voice. Right. And he knew that he was to be there because he said he was. Verse about 9, he said, I was on Patmos for, the word of the Lord. He knew he was there for a reason. He wasn't just thrown out there for no reason. He knew he was there for some reason. And he was there to what? Hear the things and then said, write it in a book and send it unto these seven church ages. All right. Now, in doing that then, John knows who's talking. He knows that voice. He knows it's there, but yet he's looking maybe in another direction. Because he said, and he turned to see the voice. Right, the prophet, you remember we gave it? The voice and the person is the same. So that was to be the voice of Almighty God that would speak. All right, and as he would be doing that, he says, now John, you just hold on a minute. Before I take you any further in all of this, I want you to know who I am. And I want you to stand still and just listen. Well, John pays close attention. And he turns to see that voice. And probably in himself was expecting to see the Lord Jesus Christ standing there. Because he knew his voice. All right. Now, I've tried to emphasize that a lot, trying to get something to you that will help us maybe a little further along. All right. And this is, with Wade taking the Sunday service, this has given me more time to kind of just, coast a little. And if I repeat myself a lot, just don't worry about it. It might be for me, but it might be for you too, So just hang on. All right. But now, John, you write this book, you send it to the seven church ages, all right? And said, now you know whose voice it is, but when he turned to see the voice, now right. Notice, he's a prophet and things are taking place. When he turned, it's kind of like chapter 4 and 5. You remember there he sees a throne. Then he sees one on the throne. What? This is stages of something transpiring. It's just not he turns to see a throne and one sitting on the throne. It's not that way. He emphasizes it. All right? So is it here. He hears the voice. He turns to expecting to see the Lord Jesus. All right? And then, but it wasn't a problem when he looked Now, and he saw seven golden candlesticks, seven lampstands. You could go through all of the things the prophet did with expressing it. But he sees that first. And he stands and looks at it. Then he sees one standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. All right? As I said, he was expecting probably to turn to see the Lord Jesus standing there. But he realizes there's something different because he's not seeing Jesus Christ. You know, the human person that he knew upon earth. So he looks and he says, all right, there's seven golden candlesticks. He knows he's got to write these things and send it to him. But then he saw one standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man. He didn't see the Lord Jesus Christ in human flesh of the bodily form of the Lord Jesus that was stood on earth. Are you with me? But what does he see? He sees a bodily form. Right? Now listen with me and think about it. He sees a bodily form. And he knows that bodily form is the one that's speaking to him, not just looking at it like, do you see that picture over yonder? No. He knows that voice is coming from this form that he sees standing before him in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Well, now that's what I've been trying to get us to look at. And he has no problem then looking at this form that he sees. You know? And he doesn't look around. Oh, you're not Jesus. You know? No. No. He knows the voice. Just like Paul, what? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Right? You see, he's looking here and he sees one standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man. He knows it is not the flesh form that he's looking at. But he knows he's looking at a body. Because he describes it later. In, you know, the face and the hair and the feet and the things that we'll get to it. But he saw one standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man. All right, now we know like means same person or same being or likeness or whatever. All right. And he knew who it was that was speaking to him. But he's looking at a symbol. And the symbol is not just the church ages, you know, the candles, candlesticks, or which one you want to use. But he actually sees a person. Right? He describes that person as we'll go along later. So he's not surprised that he didn't see the person of Jesus when he turned, but he saw the body. Now, not the body, the Lord Jesus Christ's body that we look at. I've expressed that. But he saw this body standing in the seven golden candlesticks. One like unto the Son of Man. In other words, the Son of Man in another form. An amorphy. Or changing his form. All right? Now, if he saw him in another form, what form did he see him in? That's the point I want you to dwell with me for a little while. Amen. He saw him in the bodily form, and it wouldn't have been necessarily to look like the bodily form of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. as we talk about it and talk about what he looked like and things. But he sees a bride form. God is going to reveal himself. Where does he really reveal himself as being? Okay, John. I want you to know who I am. And I want you to stand still and listen now. And I want you to see this form. All right, we've been through it over and over. Through why we're not a denomination, where Brother Branham said, he saw a bride standing in the candlesticks, drawn out. All right. Saw him in that. All right. This description that he gives is a description of the bride. All right. But now, it can't be a second person. Right? Because if it was, it wouldn't be saying like unto the Son of Man. It'd just say some man. But when it's emphasizing like unto the Son of Man, it means simply that he's changed forms. All right? And that's not the flesh form, but it's the form that he's revealing himself in. See? And revealing himself in bride form. Girt about the paps with a golden girdle, you know. All of the things. We'll get back to more on that later. I tried to put a lot of emphasis in it. And you know what he was looking at? 2 Thessalonians 1 and 10 covers it. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints. To be glorified in his saints. All right. One light we went through. His bride, perhaps not a man, a woman, and coming down to see that it even winds up being the judge because of the girdle and the places where it was put. In all judgment, according to John, I think it's 5:32, is the judgment is put into the hands of the Son. All right? So now, I have no problem then looking at what John is looking at and saying that this was the bride of Jesus Christ. All right? And that bride of Jesus Christ would be the Word for the age and time. And it would be the Son of God. You say, no, no, it's the Son of Man. See, you're just getting spiritual enough to flop the difference between Son of God and Son of Man. Just stay with me in what I'm talking about, all right? Because Brother Branham is saying, who is this Son of Man? He said, in the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's, I think, it's the rising of the sun. All right? See, then you could look at him and see that that Son of God was the one that came out in the beginning. But now he's come down to show himself in bride form, like unto the Son of Man. See? Not being the physical Son of Man, but one like unto the Son of Man. All right, now you better hold on a little bit on that to think about it. Because we don't want to go too far in that line. So let's stay with what did he see there? He saw the glorified Lord Jesus Christ in bride form, the Son of God. The Son of God. That's why it says he's likened to the Son of Man. Why? Because what's the difference in it? Brother Brown said there is no difference this day except the bodily form. Right? There's no difference in God and his bride except for the bodily form that she's in. Amen. All right? So it's like unto the Son of Man. So he sees him standing there as the glorified Son of God. We'll read these in a minute. All right? He says, John, write this and send it to the church. I want the church to realize who they are. Is that why he's sending it? I want the church to realize who they are. So I'm not just going to start writing about the church ages and what happens in the ages and times. Sure, he does that. But he's laying a background for us to see. Like I've always told you, to me the book of Revelation is the greatest of all the books, because there's nowhere in the book of Revelation do you see Jesus Christ by himself. He's always with somebody. Because he'll never do that again. Because that's the way he joined himself. But are you listening? Watch what he says now. Judgment is given to the Son. Now, where do we get down? I know we won't deny it the way I'm going anyway, but where do we get down to where it says that no man has seen God at any time? But the only begotten hath the clarity. You know, if you study Brother Brown's message real closely, it gets very, very close in some places that there is actually a quote, and if we get time we'll read it, where he says that Jesus had no legs, no arms, no hands. You know, God had no hands, arms, or legs except in Jesus. And he says you can't see him. But yet what we just read in the scriptures declares that Moses saw a form. Right? And Brother Run said he saw a theophany, a form. All right? Now, think about it. Not only does he show John who he is, he shows John where he is in his church, and that church is his body, the believers, and that church must be revealed. Remember the message we brought that out? Christ, the mystery of God revealed, she is to be revealed. The bride is to be revealed. Right? Why? Because she and the Word becomes one. And when you're revealing the Word, you're automatically revealing the person that you're talking about. So are you listening now? What did John see? So let's just read a few quotes, and then we'll get on to our thought. What did John see? All right, let's go on over to number two, brother. We quoted number one, who we're right around talking about. How that one like unto the Son of Man, who was this, his bride. One like, watch how it's, the holiness of Jesus covering her has washed us from our sins with his own blood. The gospel that held the power and glory of God over the bride of Christ. That's your golden girdle. All right? But now look at what, that's the first one. Look at number two and see what he says, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paragraph 74. And also the 14th and 15th verses describes his sevenfold glory of his person. Oh, it's beautiful. When we see Christ in his sevenfold personage of sevenfold beings. Now you're following him? Of his personage in his glorious resurrection. Now, you're going to have to hold a point there, because they can't be as sevenfold beings. But the being can be divided into his, into a sevenfold personage. I gave that one just to where if somebody come along, they get it and pick it up and say, well, what about this? You know, all right. We see Christ in his sevenfold personage. Watch him now. Sevenfold beings. That looks like seven beings. No, it's like the Bible says about that there's what? The Spirit. It's one Holy Spirit. But the Bible says there's seven spirits. It's not seven spirits. It's a manifestation of God in seven ways, right? So that's what I said about this, these sevenfold beings of his personage in his glorious resurrection. Now, that's what you're looking at. That's what he says, because it's the 14th, 15th. You see him in that sevenfold glory. All right? Look at the next one. Look at number three, the Patmos vision. Paragraph 171. Now, we're going to read the sevenfold glory of his person. See, it's one person. Not sevenfold beings. It's one person made manifest in seven ways to cover the point, right? Now watch. He's seven things here he mentions. His head, his hair, his eyes, his feet, his voice. Seven things he mentioned here. The sevenfold glory of Jesus Christ. And then he says, now let me read it to you. So he begins to read it. And look what he gets to. Go on up, because we'll get back to this in the message later. What a vision. What did he see here? The sevenfold glory of his personage. What did he see? The glorified Son of God and assembled. You see why I emphasize the Son of God? Because it is not the Son of Man, it's one like the Son of Man. Falling back to see that it's not me and you that's being made manifest. Mm-mm. It's God being made manifest in you and I. Paul says what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. But it's the sevenfold glory. We're not going to get into that part because that's going to be kind of hard to follow. Because you got his face white, and you got his hair white. And I ask you to, if you will, to somebody to draw that. Of what you see. Because it's got to be him. But I want to see the drawing that can come out of it. Feet like Bryce and all kind of things. We ain't to that yet. See, we've got to pick up something here. This is in the point of trying to understand it. All right, look what he gets to. Look what he said on the message of the resurrection. This is 3A to the brothers. And he's talking about he's on Alcatraz. He's out here and all of the things that are happening. He's on the Lord's Day. Looking over the water, maybe God loving his seer. And he said, I heard the voice of many waters. And when voice of trumpet. And when I turned to see, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And the one standing in the midst of them likened to the Son of Man. Glorified state. Right? Glorified state. So this is just not seeing us in, you get over to chapter 2 and chapter 3, and then you'll see about us being on earth. But this is showing us there and showing him in us, the glorified Son of God. That's why it says it's likened to the Son of Man, because it is not the Son of Man. It is the bride. She can be the Son of Man. Yeah, we'll go there. But you got to hold it into a point. And I hope you're at least thinking with me. But he saw him in a glorified state. Look at the next one, number 4. Patmos vision, paragraph 53. Or page 53, excuse me. Church age book. There he stands, one like unto the Son of Man. As the jewel is beautified by the mounting of the ring, what? So is he glorified in the midst of the churches. It is the Lord's day. John sees him standing, not as a priest, but as the coming judge, the finish, a glorified state. So now when John is being shown on Patmos, he's showing the bride already in a glorified condition. I said that may be a little bit trickier, you're thinking, but we'll do our best to try to back up on it later. Because, see, then you go to chapter 2 and chapter 3 and you see the bad things about the church ages and the thing. But you also see the good.
Right. Right.
What's your point, Brother Dale? He's showing us in chapter 1 already into what he sees us to be. The glorified Son of God. The body that he inhabits. See, then it's not the body of Jesus that you're looking at. It's the bride. Which is what? His body. I thought that's what we believe the scripture said. You know, that we were his body. And that he was the head. Alright? And seeing that it's in a glorified state. Look at the next one. Page 52, Patmos Vision, number 5. How deeply moving and inspiring was the appearing of Jesus to John. It was. He has no problem with saying Jesus to John because that's what I've been talking about. If you've been thinking I've been talking about the bride, I'm talking about Jesus because who was in exile for the cause of the word, and behold, the living word now stands before him. What an illuminating vision. Forever descriptive attribute has a significance. What a revelation of his glorious being. Look what he thinks about himself. I mean, thinks about us. Look what he thinks about you. That he would start off in the book of Revelations talking about you. And who you are. Sure, then he has to drop back and take earthly things, but that's no problem. It's just seeing his glorious being. But seeing it where it's at. You understand why he's saying one like unto the Son of Man? Now we're going to get a couple of scriptures in just a minute, and we're going to go with something to try to understand. But I want you to follow me of what I'm saying, whether you agree with me or not. That's up to you, because I can't make you agree. But what did John see? Before did I tell you anything, I want you to know who I am. And just stand there and listen now, because I'm going to show you who I am and where I'm at. And he showed 7 golden candlesticks. That would be enough to see the bride of Christ, because you could take those, the prophet did, and preach great lengthy messages on the lampstands and what they meant and the different things. But then he saw one in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man. Where do we get to that descriptive part of him that he was saying just now about the glorious things of the, that any little thing has a lot of meaning to it? His hair like wool, his face white, his, you know. Well, what I want you to think about, symbols. John is shown in symbols, right? The book of Revelation is written in symbols. That's why it won't say the Son of Man. It'll say one like unto the Son of Man. It's a symbol that has to be, and it took a prophet to understand those symbols for us to be able to follow it. See? Now, this is not, I want to make sure you follow me, Horton, and I can use these two scriptures. This is not seeing the flesh man of Jesus Christ, but this is, you know, his body, while he was here on earth, else it would not have said one like unto the Son of Man. It would have said the Son of Man. All right? But saying like means that it's another form of the same person. All right? Similar, resemblance, correspondings, or the same form, appearance. That's the word like. But now, for just a moment, I want you to think with me, because this is very valuable to understand the symbols, the forms, and the things. The prophet tells us these symbols. You know, nobody could tell us those symbols. They had them all messed up. Even Brother Branham, before God revealed it, said, you know, it said about that arrows of love, you know, shooting a little Cupid riding along. Until God revealed it. All right. Now, what I want you to think with me a minute about this form of the Son of Man, or one like unto the Son of Man, and follow it in the scriptures to where we can get an understanding. So go ahead with number 6, brothers, which is Daniel 3 and 25. Now watch these two scriptures, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. Because it will be two different, or whatever you're looking at, forms will be used. And that's what we got to get to understand. That in the book of Revelation, you're seeing God in another form, a bodily form, which is the bride of Jesus Christ. Uh-huh. That's the form it's in to John on Patmos. So now watch what he's saying. Daniel 3 and 25, he said, and he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God.
Right.
And you know the story, how the three Hebrew children were cast into the fiery furnace, you know, and the things, and, you know, it killed the people that throwed them in, and all of the story. And then, who is it, Nebuchadnezzar comes up, and, you know, he's looking down in there the next day, and he looks down in there, and he says, how many did we throw in? And they said, we throw three in. He says, 1, 2, 3, 4. And he says they're not hurt, because the Bible emphasizes that it's not hurt. So now we know for a certainty that God had to have been the fourth man, right?
Amen. Right?
I mean, that ought to be sensible. The fourth man was God himself.
Amen. Right.
All right? Now, to look down and see them not burning, that's why I'm emphasizing have no hurt, see? By not, you know, if he didn't even see the fourth man, Nebuchadnezzar would have known something supernatural was taking place, right?
Amen. Right.
Had he not even seen the fourth man?
Yep.
He knew that something was protecting these. And how would he have come up with what he come? And said, the form is like the Son of God. Now this is a heathen king. This is not a Jewish rabbi or a high priest that was supposed to known about the coming down of God, the condescending, and the Logos, the theophany, the thing coming down from the beginning. This is a heathen king. And look, he said he's got a form to him. Like I said, if he hadn't seen nothing, he would have known something supernatural was taking place. But he sees the form of a man. He knows that that form of that man has to be God himself. Now watch. And if you can see God, you can't see God. We'll get to that in a minute. He knew that if he could see something, it would have to be the Son of God. Because he knew he couldn't see God. All right. Father, with me now. Why would he jump over now? Go ahead with number 7. And let's read this one from Daniel. He said, I saw in the night vision, behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient of Days and brought him near. Why would he switch over and call him one like unto the Son of Man? Why would it emphasize one like unto the Son of Man? You already got a pretty good story going by seeing the fourth man in the fire and realizing the fourth man in the fire has to be God. And if you can see it, it would have to be the Son of God. Now, you know the story of Daniel 7, and you know what it all covers. We won't have time to go into it, but we'll just state it. You know that's going to the white throne judgment and the Ancient of Days and the things that sit. And the bride is sitting with him. Are we right? He's Revelation, what, it's 17 and Daniel 7, supposed to both be the white throne judgment. I believe I'm right on those scriptures. Are you following me? When he sees one in comparison with his looking at it, he says, he's the Son of God. Because if I can see it, it's got to be God, and I can only see four down there. I got them counted, 1, 2, 3, 4, you know. But I'd like for you to answer me one question. What happened to the fourth man? I know the three Hebrew children were taken out of the fiery furnace. But what happened to the fourth man? Just a little point. But here you're dealing with a multitude of people. One like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. And we're to sit on the throne with him. The white throne. You get the point what I'm driving? Nebuchadnezzar sees one, called him Son of God. He sees many, called him Son of Man. Right? Does that ring a bell? He sees one and he says, Son of God. He sees many coming to the white throne judgment, you know, to sit on the judgment with him. Yeah. The clouds of heaven. Yeah. And he says, one like the Son of Man. Amen. Trying to explain Revelations 1. That if in Revelations 1... he sees one like unto the Son of Man, a multiple form, but it was one body. This don't seem to be hitting right tonight. Don't worry about it. I'll preach it again next Wednesday. I ain't concerned. I'm just telling you, you're going to have to think. It's not to go to church and glory, hallelujah, we're doing good and everything feels good, and give us a piece of ice, we'll run down through there and get you some chill bumps or whatever you want to do. I thought it was the Word of God we were supposed to be concerned with. I thought we were to talk about the Word of God. And I thought the Word of God was the believers that was in the book. That's what I thought. Do you need that quote? The believers in the book, they are the Word. John sees it over on Patmos, already transformed into a glorified state. All totally finished. All right. I'll go on with it. If I have to, I'll drop back. Write your questions out about it. Notice now, this one Daniel sees in chapter 3, and he only sees one man, you know, with the three Hebrew children. And in Daniel 7, he sees a large group of people. This has got to be the same person. Right? If it's not, then you got two gods. So it's got to be the same person. In other words, the same person made manifest in another form. And if Nicodemus could see one and say, Son of God, and Daniel could see many and say, Son of Man, it's got to be the same person. Throughout the Bible, God has revealed himself in many forms. Will you go with me? He's the Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the ending, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, all of the many different things that he has revealed himself in that form, but it's the same God. Now, if you don't follow this line, you're sure going to miss when we get to the sevenfold glory of his person, where the face is white and the hair is white and the feet's bright. And see, Revelations 1 and 13 says, one like unto the Son of Man. See, then that would be God in another form. Anamorphy. Be one of the forms that he reveals himself to us. And watch. What I want you to see is that God has taken many forms to reveal himself. Now, none of the forms reveal you and I. So there ain't no need in thinking about hair like wool and what this is and what that can be. Get it all out of your mind. Get the feet of brass. Get all that out of your mind and just leave it alone. Because all of the forms that God has had have been revealing himself throughout the Word. But it's the same person making himself known. Same person making himself known. Now, just for a minute, and I'll back up. I know I'm going to have to Sunday anyway. I mean, Wednesday, next Wednesday. But now remember what we said. So go ahead, brother, and pull up 7a, which is Exodus 33, and you'll see why I use this scripture. All right? And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Now get the point. Moses had seen him in many ways, many forms. Many things happened. The burning bush and all kind of experiences. He'd talked to him, the Bible says, what, lip to ear, I believe, is that right? And it had said something about seeing him face to face. But yet he says, Moses, you can't see my face and live. So Moses said, okay, is there any other way I can do it? He says, go in over there and stand in that cliff to the rock. Remember, it was the same rock to me. It's the same rock that Moses smote where the water came out of. I don't have no problem with that. Go stand where you stood in the revelation of your faith and the things that's taken place that you have done and seen and all of the miraculous things that's took place. Stand in that. Why can't you and I do that tonight, folks? You mean what God has revealed to you and I? Our children could confound the scholars and things over the simplicity of the gospel that they've heard. This ain't been no just fly-by-night thing. But you understand what I'm getting at? Moses said, Lord, I'd like to see you. He wasn't meaning to see him in his glory of parting the Red Sea. He wasn't seeing him in his glory of the water and bringing it, or the great things, or the snakes, you know, and all of that. He wanted to see him. And God says, you can look at my back part. Going right on down through from where we just read, because we read it when we started. You can see my back part. But said, you can't see my face. Now, what does he mean by that? Oh, we've got it all figured out. One day, there's a man walked on the shores of Galilee, and we looked up there and seen his face. And we see Jesus. There's his face. There's his face. I'd like to quote a statement I've got in my pocket here. I'll use it later. But you know that Brother Branham says there's no way you can see God without God in you. Now, that'll be on down the road a while. Said you can't see God without God in you. All right? He said, well, Moses and them, no, they didn't see God. They saw the form he was in. Come on, are you with me? They didn't see God. They saw the form he was in. Where was he? He was in the form of the whirlwind. Right? They seen his form, but they couldn't see his face. Because no man can see God or ever has seen God. Now don't jump on down with your mind and say his son had declared him because we got a lot in here to go down. Hang on with us, all right? Look at number 8, and let's see if you can comprehend this scripture and see what it's talking about. 1 Timothy 6:15-16. It's talking about Jesus Christ, right? Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto. Whom no man hath seen, nor can see. Now, where are you going? Well, we'll use that one as that point. Let's use number 9, which is 1 John 4:12. Go ahead with number 9. No man has seen God at any time. Yeah, but Brother Dale, I thought we could see God. You're missing the point. You can't see God. You see the form he takes to reveal himself to you. Why is it you can't see God? Go ahead with the next one, number 10, and it explains it. And look who's talking. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship. Who's talking? Is that Jesus to the little woman at the well? You know? Is that who it is? Is Jesus talking to the little woman, you know? But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh us to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, can you put it together? It's eternal, immortal, everlasting God. Can't be seen. Never been seen of no man. Now, wait a minute, Moses. Come on. I just got through explaining that. That Moses said, I'd love to see you. He says, Moses, you can't see my face and live. He says, nobody can't do that. He said, go stand in that rock and I'll pass by you. He said, you'll see the back part. And said, that'll be my form that I let you see. God can't be seen. All right? Because God is a spirit. The spirit can't be seen. A spirit has to manifest itself in some way for it to be able to be seen. All right. So you go back before the foundation of the world when he was self-existing. Now you know how I've brought that down, so don't run off with the wrong way on it. God is a spirit. But you know what Brother Branham gave, and I've got it in my notes for later. Brother Branham said he's a spiritual being. He said he never did have hands and things like we have until Jesus. That's right. But he said when he's coming down and condescending that it was the Logos, the Theophany, the Son of God. And he says that Theophany has greater hands, greater eyes, and greater ears. So don't ever think about it. You know I've been against it from the beginning. We think God is a spirit. He's just a spirit. He just blows everywhere. No. The prophet said it. We'll bring it to you. He's not like the wind. He said God is a being. But what about a being that can't be seen? Unless he transforms himself. Unless he takes a form, he can't be seen. Why? Because we're in this world, he's from that world. That's the best way of saying it, world, whatever you want to call it. You say, well, what was he before the world? Oh, I guess he's just floating wind. No. I don't believe that. Never have taught nothing like that. Because I've always taught that I believe that God is a being. It speaks of his hands, his head, his heart, his hair. It speaks of a lot of things about him. But just remember, you can't see him. And that's why I've always taught you what I believe. That when we get over there on that other side, we'll see Jesus. because God can't be seen. We'll never enter that world where he came from. That's the best words I got. I don't have anything else. We can't enter into that realm, that atmospheres, that forms or whatever is out there. He's condescending this way. He was self-existing. You see, God is a spirit. Now watch what your prophet had to say. So go ahead with number 11. Let's just let the prophet answer it. Questions and answers on Hebrews 57:10-01. Wait a minute, I got these backwards. I'll have to swap it. I know I did a while ago. Okay, we're right. I'm looking for that. 456. Now look, the body. And watch. God is a spirit. Yeah, how many understands that? Say amen.
Amen.
Well, do you understand he's a spirit? Do you understand that a spirit can't be seen?
Right.
Do you understand that a spirit has to manifest itself in a form to be able to be seen?
Amen.
Now, do you believe that? See, that goes on a little more thinking, right? Look. How many understand that? Say amen. God is a spirit. Jesus is a man. And Jesus was God made flesh. Jesus was. We could never see God. See? He's a spirit. You can't see spirit. No man has seen God at any time. No man couldn't see God. And let me say this. You never seen me. Now he's trying to describe it, right? You've never seen me in all your life. You never will see me. That's right. You see this body that declares this person that's in here. Now this body doesn't have eternal life. But the spirit has eternal life. This body will go back. But it'll come forth again in its likeness, just like a grain of wheat goes into the ground. But are you listening now?
Yes.
No man can see God because God is a spirit.
Amen.
He said, you've never seen me. He said, you see the body I inhabit.
Right. Right.
Huh? Now you say, but wait just a minute now. We got scripture. Yeah, okay, we'll get them later, but we'll bring it out. They said, Philip said, show us the Father that it satisfies. He said, Philip, have I been so long with you? He said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Amen.
Now, what's he mean? When he was this one that said over in John, that we read over there a minute ago, talking to the lady, that God is a spirit. He's the one that put all these other scriptures into the scripture that says nobody can see God. Now, what's he meaning? He's saying, Philip, I am that Almighty God. But you will never see me the way you're wanting to see me. Because I'm a spirit. But said the Son will declare it. We'll get to that scripture. The Son will declare it. Notice it says Son would. Son of God's what's going to declare him.
Right.
So he says, now, have I been so long with you?
Amen.
If you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Right.
Now, if I don't get far enough to find this quote, let me state it. When he's saying, you've never seen me in all your life, you'll never see me. You see the body that declares this person that's in here. So Jesus is right. He said, if you've seen me, he said, when you see the Father one day, you'll know who I am. Because that body is what has to declare him. So you see what it's talking about? Jesus is right. No man has seen God at any time. God's a spirit. Oh, that's just all. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So he had to be talking about the human element, fleshly part that was standing there, right? Because I believe when we get up to glory, it's not going to be a little halo over here and a little pillar of fire back here and a little cloud around here. It's going to be Jesus. Because then we'll know who he is. Because Jesus is the only body that God ever had. Now come on. You say, well, wait a minute. You don't know. The only body God ever had. The only natural body God ever had. We're not a natural body. We're a multiplied form, an amorphy, a change into a multiple form body. We're not just one body. So the Bible's still right. God is a spirit. And there's no way to see it. Let's see if we can get this other one. Then we'll quit. Go ahead with the next one, which is Shalom. Number 12, which is Shalom, preached in 1964. Rolled it on up because you can get into all the other and read it, see what it is. I gave you that to where you can have it. And now, as when we are die, you know, when we die, like in the physical body, as we are now, we are separated from one another. Now, listen to him. But it's really, this body is the only thing that identifies us to each other.
Amen.
So now God is a spirit. Can't be seen. I can't see you. I see the body you inhabit. The body you inhabit declares unto us. All right, come on. And what? But it's really, this body is the only thing that identifies us to each other. Because we are bound in five senses, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. And as long as we can see or feel one another, well, we have evidence that we're here. If you're blind and can't see, then you can feel one another, you know, because what it earthly the senses declares one another. All right? Put it on up. Raise this and on up to that. But really, frankly, we've never seen each other. Did you know that? We've never seen one another. You hear something speaking out of a body, hear that it impersonates what's it's on the inside. So then when we talk to each other, we're really not talking to the body. It's the spirit inside. But the body is the thing that identifies the spirit that's on the inside. Therefore, when we speak to each other, we are quickly can understand right away whether we are Christians or not. Come on. Because there's a fellowship in the spirit that we talk from. I know if I say it this way, you'll flop it back on me, so I'll go ahead and say it anyway. You know that a lot of times I'm just the kind of a person that you talk to me, it's hard to find out where I'm at. And I understand that. A certain brother, I won't call his name, we had differed with each other years ago. He said, if I can get with Sister Dale, I can find out what Brother Dale believes. I said, I'll never find out from him. You remember that? You see, you'll never find out what's on the inside of this man. Because inside of this man is something trying to talk to you. If you don't have the same spirit of the one that's within here, then you don't understand what I'm talking about. That's why I understand people don't understand me. I don't have no problem. But I'm just saying, if we got the same spirit, what's the problem? Now you go talk to a Trinitarian. You know right real quick that spirit you're talking to ain't the right spirit, right? Okay. Watch what he says. And therefore, when we speak to each other, we are quickly can understand right away whether we are Christians or not. Because there's a fellowship in the spirit we talk from. You see that it vibrates on one another, that whether we are Christians or not, therefore we have never seen each other. Remember Brother Branham saying that there was like a vibration come to him, and he knew it was the right spirit or not, it would come to him. And you ever talk to somebody and something just didn't feel right? You know. Well, there's one thing about it, it's either God or the devil won, so, you know. It's one or the other. It's no problems. But just for a second, because you know how I preach, I'll end this part and we'll take it up next Wednesday. I believe Jesus, the flesh, was a creation. And that that's the only body that God ever had, only body he ever will have. Because that's a one-membered body. It's not talking about the bride of Christ being his body, because we are, but we're a multiple form of that. That's why I was trying to get you to see where he said Son of God and Son of Man. See, there in Daniel, because one is the Son of God in a one form, the other is a multiple form. All right? You see, I believe when that baby was born there 2,000 years ago, we call Jesus. I believe what the prophet said, that in body he was a man. But he'll say in soul he was God. And then he'll say in spirit he was God. I believe that. You see, that way you don't have eternal sonships. And a mess up in your doctrine. Because that way you got it right when Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There's not another body anywhere can manifest God like that. I don't care who we are, who we think we are, and what we think we're doing. It won't work. See, when that baby was born, the soul and the spirit of Almighty God came into that body. Amen. And walked in that body upon this earth. Right. That body is my brother. Right. That body is my advocate. Amen. That body is my healer. That body gave his life to be a sacrifice. But that body is all we'll ever see of God. Because he declares himself to be there. And see, that does away with all you River Jordans and the doctrines of people, you know, that he wasn't God until this, and then he became God. And the Bible said he was born. Emmanuel. I've got a quote at home laying out that we'll talk about body, spirit, and soul of Jesus Christ. Because, you see, God can't be seen. That spirit can manifest itself in a form, and you can look at that form and see whether it's God or not, because it will always follow the Word. That soul that comes into us by a new birth will always declare God as to being the one true
Amen.
And living God. See, it takes all of these forms for us to understand. Let's stand.
Right. Amen.
Takes all these forms for us to understand. Many forms that he has, but the one God.
Amen.
The one God that walked the shores of Galilee, and there in that man, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, Philip.
Amen.
He said, because inside of this body is the soul and the spirit, the very life, the very being, the very character, the very nature, the very all of God is here standing before you. And that way you're not oneness. Because you see, that Son of God had to start way back yonder and work its way down to there to be the right one. Can you see that you can't see God? But yet if he'll just declare himself, if he'll just manifest himself, you see him. What do we got, brother?
138
in Spiral Book. Anybody got a need? The altar's open. You see, that Son declares, brings him out into the open to where you and I can see him. Moses was able to see a form of God in the burning bush. He was able to see him in many forms, but he wanted to see him face to face. In other words, he wanted to see him more real than anything it had ever been before. He says, you can't do it. See, we are of one world and he's another one. He had to condescend into this world to be able to give us an understanding of what it'll be like. The Bible says when we get over there, we'll have a body like unto his. But just remember, it won't be his body. It'll be mine then. It's talking about my body that I'll be living in. Right? My body I'll be living in. Your body you'll be living in. And see, that's why we're a new creation. Go ahead.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Just come. Let's pray and let's see.
Is sinking sand.
I went to the nursing home.
Darkness seems to hide his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor in the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, covenant, and his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul is waved, he is all my hope can say. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. He shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness, Lord, faultless to stand before the Lord. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All the ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Christ is solid rock I
believe you, Father.
Darkness seems to hide his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high end, I
anybody else? Sinking sand, it holds this covenant. You know the desire of our brother, so we just ask you to come on the scene now and just make it manifest. Let everything work out for your honor and glory, for what you would have to be done in the things, because we believe you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Anybody else? On less to stand for the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. I just hope you'll go home and pray and say, well, you know, maybe I'm not understanding, but you'll open it up to where I can. Because I'm simply talking about one true and living God made manifest in a many-membered form called the Bride of Jesus Christ. And to see that, we can understand why it talks of the things that it does. You haven't never read the Bible to where, you know, yes, I'm pretty sure it's in the Songs of Solomon. But he describes his little girlfriend. You ever heard Brother Brown's definition of his first girlfriend? It was something like legs like a jaybird, something like a swan, and the neck like a swan. How would you like to be described like a bunch of goats coming down off of a mountain? Well, that'd be something, wouldn't it? You go around and tell everybody in the country, get on Facebook. My husband says I'm like a bunch of goats. That's what God says about you. See, it's according to what your thinking is. Yeah. To them, the most beautiful thing that David maybe could see was a bunch of goats coming down off of a hill. He wasn't looking at them like a bunch of stinking bats and, you know, all kind of thing. He saw something beautiful. Read the Songs of Solomon. That'd be a good thought for you by the time we get into the next message. Read the Songs of Solomon. And listen to what it's talking about. Sometimes it's confusing because you can't hardly figure who's doing the talking. But, you know, look and see how he describes it. Go awake, my love. Said he looketh through the lattice. And says my heart fails. Because I think it uses there something else. You see, we look at the Bible as being what we think is the Word of God. But do we look at it as talking about us and what God thinks about us? And His description of us. And His description of you in Revelations 1 is you got a white face. And you got hair like wool. And you got just, and feet like brass. You know, that's the most beautiful thing he could think of. But it don't look too pretty to me. That's why I ask you to draw it. I don't look like a pretty woman. I dare say, Brother Bob, you better not go home and tell your wife that she looks like what Brother Branham said his first girlfriend looked like. Right. But to him, it was beautiful. I've always got in trouble talking about my wife, and I said, If you got an old nag, you always got to brag on that old horse because it ain't worth 2 cents. But I said, if you got a real good thoroughbred, then you don't go around all over the country bragging on her because everybody knows she's a thoroughbred. She said, but you don't have to refer to me as a horse. Well, to me, that's a beautiful picture. Got a lot of things involved in it. Remember, pray for Wade this weekend in ministering and all, and just pray that the Lord would bless. Remember the fellowship meeting, not this coming weekend, but the next one at Brother Longoria's. So we'll be leaving 10:30 something, going over. If you want to go with us, let us know. We'll travel together and eat together, fellowship, and have a good time. Father, we thank you for this day and your love unto us. Thank you for grace. Thank you for all things. We just ask you, Lord, to open up our eyes that we may see, Lord, what you think about us and look into your word and find ourselves therein. Forgive our sins, cleanse us and guide us. Be with everybody on the way home. Give a safe journey. Remember all of the sick among us, Lord. You know the physical needs that we have. So we pray that you would just bless each one in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
All ye saints.